today on Real Radio.
Listen, are you at odds with someone?
You mean like my wife?
You mean like my husband? Do you mean like my parents? Do you mean like my kids? I don't care who it is. Here's the cool thing. Are you a Christian? Yep. God has given you and I the ability to reconcile.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Restores, continues a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, also what will happen in the last days. In Isaiah chapter 3, we were shown a cycle of great prosperity under King Uzziah. Then we saw sin and a departure from God, with their identity tied to their possessions. And in their self-indulgence and wealth, Isaiah warns Judah to repent and return to God, or it'll all be taken away. We also learned that, as it was in Isaiah's time, we cannot allow disobedience to take over our lives. And unless we turn away from sinning and turn to Christ, it'll also not end well for us. Now in chapter 4, we find Judah in captivity, but God's coming restoration. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We cannot do it on our own, but through God's love, we can restore others, knowing that we too can fall away. And as it says in Isaiah chapter 4, the Lord wants to cleanse us and be our refuge and our hiding place from the storm and the rain. And now continuing his lesson called When God Restores, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You see what I'm saying? We're going to be responsible for this. Each and every one of us, whatever it is, I thank God he didn't give me a voice to be judged by, but he gave me other things, right? And you look at me and you go, oh, Pastor Jack, you're going to be in a whole heap of trouble on that day. Well, listen, you need to think about you. Because I'm responsible to take what he's given me and make sure I use it for him, you see. Okay, so that's very, very important. And so here in Revelation, at the great white throne, the book of life is opened. So all it says, the book of life is opened, and the people there are judged according to what's in the books. Okay? Now look at Revelation 21, 27. 21:27. But there shall be no means, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. He's talking about heaven, but only those who are written in the what? Let me hear it again. The Lamb's Book of Life. Okay. What does this mean? This is what it means. In the Bible, it says numerous times, in fact, Moses was concerned about it, Paul mentions it, and the book of Revelation mentions it. Have you heard this before? Watch out, beware, lest your name be blotted out of the book of life. Have you heard this? You never want to have your name blotted out of the book of life. Here's what happens. Number one, the unbeliever appears before God, the Father, with no mediator. They appear before him with no advocate. They have no defense. They're alone before him. And the books are open. And then the book of life is open. And allow me to humanize it this way. And boom, there's your name, Billy Bob. Billy Bob, here's your name here in the book of life. And I'm making an assumption here in a moment. You'll see why in a second. And let's open up the other books regarding Billy Bob. Oh, okay, here's Billy Bob's life. Well, number one, he never accepted Christ. And so his life is reviewed, and he's judged by the judge according to the things written in the book. That's terrifying. There's no forgiveness, there's no mercy, there's no grace at this moment. None. I'm making an assumption that Billy Bob's name is written in the book. And I say, I'm declaring an assumption. Why? Let's leave the non-believer right there. Let's come on over to here. As a believer, the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, you got me? Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they appear before Jesus, not the Father, in judgment. And they're rewarded for what they did with their life for Jesus. It's all good, because heaven is where this takes place, and heaven is where they stay. In the book of Revelation chapter 20, those whose names are in the book of life, I assume, are taken into hell. You see, yeah, but the Bible says there's a possibility of us getting our names blotted out. Be very careful how you read the word. Watch this. Every human being that's ever been given life is written in the book of life. Adolf Hitler's name's in the book of life. Osama bin Laden's name's in the book of life. Charlie Manson, your name, my name. Everyone's written in the book of life. You with me? Everybody appears there. They were given life, all of us. Here's the deal. When you accept Jesus Christ, your name is highlighted, as it were, on the book of life. Copy. Paste into the Lamb's Book of Life. Because the only way to keep, listen, the Bible says, and all those whose names were not found in the Book of Life were cast into the lake of fire, where the false prophet and where Satan is. Read the whole chapter of Revelation 20 and 21. He said, well, wait a minute. You said they had a name in there. I said, I assume their name was there. I make this assumption. But we know this for a fact. At some point, all those whose names were not found in the book of life, something happens that their names are blotted out. Think of it. Their names are no longer there. How'd that happen? This is what seems to happen. This is what appears. Billy Bob is born into this world. His name appears in the book of life because he's been given life. And there'll be a day when the Lord is going to hold Billy Bob accountable for the life that was given to him by God. But Billy Bob never accepted the Lord. His name never appeared in the Lamb's Book of Life. So because his name was never found in the Lamb's Book of Life, his name is blotted out of the book of life. Because the Bible says their names were not found when looked for. Here is the goal for your life. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it keeps it in the Book of Life. So when the books, plural, are opened, your name will be there if your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. It will not be blotted out. No name that appears in the Lamb's Book of Life could ever be blotted out of the Book of Life, because it's Christ who secures your salvation. It's Christ who secures your destiny in Him. Does that make sense? We do it every day with our computers. We should understand that easily. To keep my name in the book of life, I've got to put it in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you've got to decide that. You've got to choose him. You've got to receive the branch. Grab on to the branch. He's the branch. He's the Lord. Back to Isaiah, and we'll finish this up. And so verse 4, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, remember the girls we were talking about earlier? He's talking about, I'm going to restore them. This is amazing. And we'll come back to this in a second. I'm going to wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purge the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, cleansing, purification. Then the Lord, mark it in your Bibles, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahweh. Then Yahweh will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above every or her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. This takes you back to Exodus, doesn't it? It takes you back to the wilderness of God's presence to protect and to bless. For over all the glory, there will be a covering, a canopy, his presiding presence over them. And there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge, and for a shelter from storm and from rain. He's announcing to them, there's going to come a time when I restore the nation of Israel, and I'm going to accomplish everything I've promised. Now, let's make this personal for us tonight. God has given, just as he will in the future for Israel, you and I are as it were, prototypes for them to watch right now. Doesn't the Bible say in the book of Romans that you and I are to provoke the Jew to jealousy? Did you know that? If you know any Jewish people and you're a Christian, they're supposed to sit around and scratch their heads trying to figure you out. They don't get it. Look, I'm telling you from experience. I've just got some great Christian friends. I mean, Jewish friends. I have some great Christian friends too. But I have some Jewish friends, and you guys, because they've been here before, they freak out over you. They've told other people. You should see these people. And they get all excited in a good way. We talk and they'll say, how is it you know our scriptures? What are you doing reading the Old Testament like that? You're a Gentile. And they said, yeah, but I mean, haven't you read the Old Testament? I play with them. I talk with them like this. The Old Testament talks about the Gentiles coming to faith in the Lord. Yes, we have. Yes, of course, we read that. Well, you're looking at one. I tell them, they'll say, you're not Jewish. I go, no, but the God I worship is. Amen. Drives them crazy. What's happened? Well, how can this be? Because the Lord has given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 to 21, it tells us there that the Lord has not only forgiven us and reconciled us to him, but he has given us the ministry of reconciliation towards others. Listen, are you at odds with someone?
You mean like my wife?
You mean like my husband? Do you mean like my parents? Do you mean like my kids? I don't care who it is. Here's the cool thing. Are you a Christian? Yep. I like asking people that. I can't take it anymore. He drives me nuts. We're going to get a divorce. I can't stand her anymore. Wow, are you guys Christians? It's so funny. They come into my office and they go, they sit on opposite ends of the office. I can't stand him. And they're like, it's pretty bad, is it? It's horrible. You have no idea. Actually, I hear it all the time. Yeah, this is our last chance. We're meeting right now and it's over. We're going out. We're leaving here getting a divorce today. Okay. So you guys Christians? Yeah, we're Christians. And I'm not going to tell you what happens after that. I just hope you never hear what I say in that context, because I don't pull any punches at that moment. You say you're a Christian, then shut up and act like one. You say you're a Christian, then obey Jesus and stop goofing off.
Can you say that and to be a pastor?
Oh, yeah. It's called exhortation in the 21st century. God has given you and I the ability to reconcile. It's supernatural. We don't use it enough, friends, as Christians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, brethren, you who are spiritual, you who are mature, you who say you're Christians, restore a brother who's fallen down, who's stumbled. Restore him in love and be patient about it and kind. Considering yourselves, lest you also fall. Isn't that kind? Well, none of us should be like this with people. We should be reconciling. Biblically, of course, but we should be a ministers of reconciliation. And that's just like our God. We're mimicking our God. I need to mimic my God more. I told you we were in San Diego these last 2 days in this leadership gathering of guys, and we were praying for France, praying for Europe. And I prayed. I said, look, I can pray and I will pray for our enemies. I'm commanded to pray for my enemies. But I said, I'm not going to cry if one of them trips over a roller skate. And I'm confessing that's the wrong attitude. I have the wrong heart. This is right before we go to a prayer meeting. I said, I got to tell you right now. And you know, for me, it's true. It's like, I'm like James and John. Lord, you want us to call fire down from heaven right now? Remember they said that to him? And the Lord reminded me, and you know, before we all went to prayer, it's like confession starts to come out. You know, it's like, no. But I couldn't go into prayer with what we were going to pray about for what's happening regarding the persecuted church. And I would have been lying at the altar of God. I just said, guys, you got to pray for me because. You know, I'd like to have a Bible in one hand and a rocket launcher or a bazooka in the other. I'm sorry, but I need prayer here on this. And it's wrong. I have to confess that. Because the Lord reminded me today, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation. It's like, yeah, it's okay. Sometimes we have to obey him, okay? And in obedience, there's life. Amen. Obedience, there's freedom. Father, tonight we pray that we would now exercise obedience. You are the God of all reconciliation, the God of all ministry, the God of makeup. You're amazing. You say to the world, make up with me. Come to me. Confess your wrong to me. Change the way you think. Rather than curse my son, acknowledge my son. Rather than wearing a cross, come to the cross. Rather than use his name as a slanderous word, use it as a precious praise. My friend, tonight maybe you are a person who needs to be reconciled to God, and you know it. And you need to let him know that now. If your heart is tender now, and if your heart is true, and honest, you would say to him, God, I'm terrified of the thought of all of my sins that you know about. Most, 90% of them I've forgotten, but you remember them all. And without Jesus, you're going to tie them around my ankles someday because I've owned them. They're mine. And maybe you're seeing tonight that they are like a ball and chain to you. And they're going to pull you down into a bottomless pit. without Jesus. And God offers you reconciliation tonight to say yes to him, to be cleansed and washed by the Spirit. Of burning that said, let him cleanse your soul tonight by the blood of Jesus. Tell him tonight, tell him now, Lord, please forgive me and change the way I'm living. I can't do it. I don't even know where to begin. But change the way I'm living now. Change my mind, change my soul. Redeem me, Lord. Make me a follower of Jesus Christ, a believer in the Bible, a child of God. Reconcile me to your loving heart. Tell him now that you give your life to him. Lord, we thank you for this night. In a world gone mad, you are our lighthouse. You are our pillar. You are a branch, the hope of our souls. In his name we ask.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Restores. Thanks for listening, and our prayer is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life so that you can spend eternity in heaven with the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, our Lord. When God Restores is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. If you've received Christ as your personal Savior and you're new in your Christian walk, or maybe you've recently rededicated your life to the Lord, we'd love to hear about it. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. We've also got a Devotions tab there at our website to help you stay close to the Lord, along with Bible scriptures for encouragement and strength. Pastor Jack posts a new devotion once a week, and gives you easy access to his previous devotions. You can also subscribe to our devotional newsletter when you provide us with your email address. One more time, it's all at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, a lot of us today, including Christians, struggle with depression and even thoughts of suicide. The question is, how do we deal with this huge issue in today's culture? And is there a biblical answer for when we allow our emotions to shape our view of life? The Apostle Paul, King David, and even Moses had extreme thoughts of depression. We at times can spiral out of control with emotions that lead us down a very dark path of despair. That's why Pastor Jack talks about it in one of his programs. When you go to his website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, simply click on the Home or Watch tab. Once there, you'll find Pastor Jack bringing a message of hope for all of us who struggle with our emotions. The program is called Dealing with Depression and Thoughts of Suicide. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. God deeply cares for us and is involved in all the details of our lives, including depression. His desire is to restore all of us and to lift us up by giving us a new hope for the future. Again, the program is called Dealing with Depression and Thoughts of Suicide, and you can find it on Pastor Jack's website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also find it on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.